Hello, my name is Esther Sibiud. I'm a visual artist, a writer, and a harpist. I wrote the radio tale Ezra in November of 2020. Ezra lives in a studio apartment filled with gadgets and souvenirs that she buys online. Everything gets delivered to her, and she never leaves her house. Isolated, she accidentally falls in love with herself. With music by Justin Lugley, TRJJ, Maya Marlene Lechner, Joe Heffernan, Lucia de la Paulera, Brandy Younger, and Emilia Wang. And now, on Waveform Radio, Ezra.
Ezra used to be round like a sphere. She had two faces, one on each side, and two pairs of feet and arms sticking out of her body. She rolled around in circles, and her life felt like a continuous whole without any clean cut nor trenchant distinctions. She danced all day and night. On some evenings, when very drunk, she climbed into the sky to flirt with the moon. The gods eventually punished her for this. They split her in two halves, like you'd split a hard-boiled egg with a wire. This led to a series of dramatic events. The two halves split into four quarters, the quarters into eighths, and the eighths into sixteenths, and the sixteenths into 32nds, and so on and so forth. The gods confused her many tongues and memories, and Ezra's different parts were scattered all around the world. They spoke different languages and were lost in translation.
Thank you.
One of the Ezras lived in a 635-square-foot studio apartment in a condo with 108 units, 12 units on each floor. There were 9 floors and 4 elevators. The city had thousands of these buildings, and the country had hundreds of similar cities. Inside the apartment, the furniture pieces were interlocked with each other, and most of her things were out of immediate reach. Parts of the table went over the sofa. The sofa was pushed up against the bookshelf. The coat rack was squeezed in between the lazy boy and the night table. Scarves, robes, and vests draped over their surfaces. It was cozy and dusty, toasty and humid in the winter. All surfaces were covered with gadgets and souvenirs. Small items like keys and wallets got lost instantly. Sometimes, things disappeared for good. The bed was in the center of the room, where for most of the day, her body lay with a phone, a computer, some snacks, and other essentials. The lamp next to the bed was the spirit that watched over her in the apartment. Its incandescent light was bumblebee yellow and burned day and night. It guided her dreams or kept her conscious in the dark. During the brightness of the day, it turned into a discreet stain. She had sewn all her clothes together into a curtain that covered the entire wall of her apartment. Every morning, the sunlight pierced through the diaphanous quilt. Heat entered the apartment, stroked her, and she would awake. Ezra slept with the top of her head facing east towards the sunrise in order to receive certain images in her dreams. She believed these dream images emanated down to her along the path of the sun. At night, her soul turned away from the world, and she dreamt about the inside of her body while the walls of the apartment grew closer to her skin. She had one recurrent dream. A rolling TV stand supported her guts, which were modeled in clay. Her organs lay dispersed on the carpet and were wrapped in athletic mesh fabric, like the ones used on sneakers. Harp and violin strings were stretched throughout the room, and foam bubbles floated in the air between the tight strings. Two drawers full of socks and gloves opened and closed in a rhythmic cumbia type of beat. On the coffee table, the daily paper was moving like a tongue, about to taste and swallow down the breaking news feed. Her brain hid in the furniture behind the electric household and looked for a second skin, a carapace, something stronger and denser than the first one. It dove into a chasm in the haunted placenta. There it built the nest, the cave. It dug and lived in the pipes. In this remarkably comfortable stew pot was the cozy chaos. Her sister troglodyte rubbed her face against the doormat of her fabricated house. In the dream, Ezra slept, shut off her senses. Her nose was bleeding. It flew on her nightshirt. Sheets and blankets, their napping eyes, the heavy sleep that woke her up. She couldn't run errands, she no longer left the house. On the ground floor, she began to vivisect her objects. She ripped open the skin of one and put it aside. Was all this stuff her ally or her enemy? She splintered her furniture, decomposed the calendar, dug out the living room organs like a kinetic embryo of unborn days. Inside, the skeleton was dry, transformed to her knitting machine of her stuffed apartment. In the shrunken room, there was no gravity. No calm. Outside, a great horn rattled her floor. It was the dripping morning. The doorbell rang. Another box. A carry bag. Nothing but delivered food. When she awoke, she heard motors idling eight floors below. The trucks lined up while men in uniforms delivered piles of packages. Every day was the same choreography. The city's buildings swallowed the content of the delivery boxes and regurgitated the non-digestible cardboard, foam, and bubble wrap. Ezra kept them. They reminded her of her dream. She broke down each cardboard box and stored the flat panels behind her sofa. From time to time, she cut long stripes with a wood slat and a knife and used them to frame together rectangular objects in her apartment. She had measured the contours of every linear thing in the house. Geometric shapes eased her mind in this crowded apartment landscape. Ezra collected all kinds of artifacts that she bought online to fill her apartment. Bavarian cuckoo clocks, watercolors of the Eiffel Tower, Japanese stuffed animals, inflatable flowers, canes from Madagascar. But dust and boredom settled on the extinct world of Ezra's artificial souvenirs. The thin coat of pulverized particles turned every object into an opaque phantom of itself. The cloudy powder was unstoppable. It crept from the street inside of her apartment before it slowly became a soft carpet that covered her life and made the elusive passing of time palpable. Dust was Ezra's antagonist because it reminded her of death. It was the signature of lost time. She bought a variety of containers, glass boxes, armoires, cabinets, albums, to protect her possession from the cumbersome residue in order for them to be safe for future contemplation. She still had to regularly feather dust the containers in order to forget about the stillness of things. When Ezra felt nervous about something, she grabbed the bubble wrap that she kept under her bed and popped bubbles while she watched TV. She watched a lot of TV in general. Talk shows like The View played in the background when she worked, and when she was done, she watched an HBO series. When she would finish the series, she listened to a podcast about the series where the director or main actor was interviewed about the experience of the making of and gave some insight into the behind-the-scenes dynamic. She streamed the podcast on her phone that lay next to her ear and would fall asleep.
Sorry. During the winter, the nights were longer, and Ezra spent more time on her phone. One day, while she used the camera as a mirror to fix her makeup, she drowned in her own image and accidentally fell in love with herself. This was predictable, because she spent most of the year alone in her apartment and had slowly stopped arranging and cleaning the dust off the mishmash that composed her home. She still shopped online, but wouldn't open the boxes anymore. She had no social interaction, except for the two psychoanalysts who she met via phone calls. Her photo library was entirely composed of images of herself, mixed with the receipts of her delivered purchases. The hours spent browsing and shopping sharpened the algorithm to such a degree that any keywords she searched brought her to something that she desired profoundly. She fell into a kind of ecstasy state where everything she saw on the screen pleased her. Nothing contradicted her senses or made her think twice. Everything seemed to be written for her. She felt in osmosis with her destiny and started to love herself even more. Scrolling through her selfies turned her on and often drove her to masturbate. She imagined being someone else and how it would be to be in love with her, what they would talk about, what gifts they would give each other, which shows they would watch together.
Thank you.
Everything that she cared about happened on or through her phone. It was almost like her personality was stuck inside this small device. Somewhere in between the chip, the Wi-Fi, and the screen, Ezra was encrypted, lost in the maze of informatics and obsessed with algorithmic fashion. Whenever she didn't look at it, she held her smartphone firmly inside her pocket until it was warm and sweaty. Notifications and alarms popped up constantly. At this point, it was mainly her that sent information to herself in a loop. She texted downloaded images, music files, recorded her diary on voice messages, sent emails and selfies to her many URL addresses. The feedback resulted in a web that held in place all the messages, dreams, and memories of previous nights and days, and allowed them to be used to foresee the future. Each of her actions within the device was documented and interpreted. She lived in this reflective bubble where information was trapped like air. She grew inward and soon became non-locatable. It was only at night, in another recurrent dream, that she left the little machine and rode the elevators of her building up and down. There she hoped to meet a neighbor she could fall in love with. She wore a big Baroque dress that took up the entire cabin of the elevator. Her face shone and sparkled because of the glitter she mixed in with her face powder. The same song always played during the elevator rides.
It's a beautiful, strange dream with unfulfilled wishes, full of fear, full of, it's a strange world of, it's a bloody world with diamonds hanging from the heavens hanging. From heaven.
In In the dream, she stops on the top floor, walks down the hallway, pushes the emergency doors open, and steps out onto the roof. The night is calm and navy blue. Thousands of silver roofs spread into a shiny plateau. The moon is a large orange croissant with fuzzy contours, framed between two skyscrapers. Every time Ezra looks away, the moon changes its location. Thin moss and seaweed grow into an infinite net all over the night sky and are tangled with the stars. The organic vines seem fragile, dangerous to navigate, and decayed. Ezra reaches up and tugs on the web above, finds it's actually quite sturdy. Sturdy enough to support her and her baroque dress and heels, and she climbs up and swings from one roof to another, crossing the deep chasms in between. As she swings, bits of moss and dirt come off the vines and drift in the vastness of the sunless blue light. She is not alone. All the other Ezras visit this place in their dreams. They grasp onto and crawl on the thin net, while the night breeze sways and distorts the vine scaffolding. Some Ezras jump off to take the escalators between the skyscrapers and disappear downward. No one knows where these lead. They start so high in the sky and go so deep in the ground that one's whole existence could be spent climbing or descending the electronic stairs. The others oscillate around the moon in a clumsy dance. They can never touch, just glimpse at one another, and feel the pulling and tension of the vine network. Their proximity and the tension of the vines makes them smile. The light air of the night fills them with the emotion of reunion. Thank you.
you just listen to Ezra, narrated by Jet Strauss, with music by Justin Lugli, TRJJ, Maria Malina Lechner, Joe Heffernan, Lucia de la Paulera, Brandy Younger, and Amelia Wong. And I am Esther Sibiud.